This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are live. This is we're back from our little hiatus. I was in the free state of Florida, as I like to call it. And if I wanted to stay married to my wife, we have to fly on a Saturday occasionally. And so it is what it is, guys. So we had to miss a couple of shows, but we're good to be happy to be back to here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. It is very cold outside, so you can cuddle up with your machine because it's probably keeping you warm because you can't turn your gas on because you can't afford it. At least you can have a nice warm computer humming in the background and keeping you warm. Also coming up at 10:05, we're going to have a check-in with Tom Perrone. He's coming in the studio, and he's from GoNetSpeed, and he'll kind of give us an update on what he's been doing and how they've been expanding and helping all of us save money on internet. I mean, you're watching your internet bill go down in areas where the competition comes in.
Right.
And the offerings are also much lower cost from the incumbents, too, that are saying, uh-oh, I better lock you into something quickly before these guys come in and take the business away, which... Hey, man, I hope they take all the business away, frankly.
Sure.
The incumbents have had plenty of time to charge whatever they wanted, thanks to the folks at our government that kept all the competitors out. So it's finally happening. He'll be in to talk about what they're doing, and we're excited about that. But as usual and customary, we have some news, lots of stuff happened. And this one just came across my desk, I think yesterday. This is from my favorite across the pond, the Register IT blog, a hole in U.S. military email servers operated by who? Microsoft left more than a terabyte of sensitive data exposed to the internet less than a month after Office 365 was awarded a higher level of government security accreditation. Isn't that nice?
What?
According to security researcher Arang Sang, who discovered the blunder and reported it, the openly accessible server was part of an internal mailbox system hosted on Azure Government Cloud. Ooh. And you, again, this is the title, Azure Government Cloud.
It is a different collection of systems. They're hosted on their own dedicated data centers in the United States, not anywhere else.
And it was used by the Department of Defense for a variety of purposes, including the processing of security clearance paperwork.
Oh.
The documents shared with the Register said to be from the exposed server included a rich amount of data that certainly would be valuable to a foreign adversary, including all the usual PII, as well as blood type, religious affiliation, educational background, military service history, and more, all in plain text. Thanks, Microsoft. It was basically 3 terabytes of data that was available before the Azure server was taken offline Monday. So Bloomberg then spoke to individuals at the DoD and Microsoft. Both Pentagon Cyber Command and Microsoft are investigating the incident. The server was reportedly accessible to the internet since February 8th. Nice job. Nice
job. Wow. Yeah. Good few weeks of plain text data being right there for the downloading.
Microsoft 365. So again, I know when you stick your stuff in the cloud, you think you're not responsible for it anymore, but you are.
Oh, heck yeah.
Right? You are. And now both Microsoft and the DoD are blaming each other. No matter who's to blame, someone messed up. If the DoD's Inspector General's office is to be believed, there's a good chance that the fault lies with the government for misconfiguring its entire IT environment and not Microsoft. Well, okay, whatever. Whatever you're doing, you're not reading how to do it. The government has contracts with Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, Oracle, and others, and they're all being now forced to review what?
What?
They're being forced to review how to do a configuration. Right, because you can't just set up a server in the cloud and think it's automatically configured properly.
What you mean that a server in the cloud isn't just like a server in front of you that you have to configure?
Yeah, well, according to these dinglings, they didn't follow the documentation as to how to set it up. Right, this is a problem everywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately,
and now they're having everyone review all of their. The Inspector General wants all the CIOs. From the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines to reevaluate the authorization to operate for the five cloud systems. So be careful. Keep this in mind. We have clients that are making military parts that have to have proper security, right? And then they have to pay a premium.
And some of them have paid that premium to have their stuff. Cloud services hosted on those dedicated government level servers.
Right. But the key here is though. No matter where you stick your stuff, you're still responsible for it. If it's right. In the cloud, you're just renting somebody else's servers, or if it's on-prem. So we'll put this link up here. You can read it yourself. It is what it is. But for all these military clients that are out there trying to get CMMC or NIST or DFAR secured for government things, and the government then leaves their own stuff wide open, you got to ask yourself, why are you spending so much money to secure your stuff if your own government can't do it right?
Right, and why is the government even asking all of that? If they're not willing to do it themselves.
Right. So clearly there's a problem. There's a breakdown there. What do you got, Dennis? You want to talk about anything?
Well, I've got an interesting story here. Yeah. And I'm sure most of our audience may have even heard about this. But it just kills me that this happened. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
ChatGPT, which is an AI service, is now been built into Bing because Microsoft bought into the company that made it. OpenAI is the name of the company.
All right.
And it's now available. You can go to the Bing website and you can put in a query. Depending on how you structure it, it will invoke a ChatGPT session for you to just figure out what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Now, Google was kind of caught flat-footed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say, well, we've been working on something like this ourselves for a long time, and now we're going to roll it out. Mm-hmm. We're going to introduce something called Bard.
Bard, yeah, I saw that.
As in Shakespeare, the Bard of Avon, whatever.
Yes. Yep.
Anyway, they roll this out. They have a big, exposition of how this thing is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they put in a question for their AI system.
Yep.
And that AI system promptly gave an incorrect answer.
Of course.
Completely incorrect. Yep. It could have been fact-checked just by going to Google.
Unbelievable.
And it was wrong. Yep. So now their share price, their total share price dropped $100 billion. Failed demo.
Yep. Who moved my cheese? Just when you think Google's going to be there forever, ubiquitous. You got another player in the mix.
Well,
it'd be funny if Microsoft actually wins this battle now.
Well, they very well could because they seem to have known what they were doing. They had apparently Microsoft had been developing their own AI product, and they had already had a plan to integrate that into Bing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was they were able to negotiate to deal with OpenAI,
right?
And then they get the right to use ChatGPT, and they were able to just shift that right into this infrastructure that they had already set up for themselves.
Yeah.
But Google apparently was just still doing research on this thing.
Right.
They had no integration plan.
Right.
And they didn't even do any good quality control on it in the first place.
They're having trouble with
their
people, too. I mean, I saw a story that I actually think I have talking about how Google wants folks to come back to the office, right?
Right.
And To save money, though, they want them to share desk space. So you basically you share your desk space with some other person, whoever it might be, and you know, you've got your pictures of your family on the desk. They got their pictures of their family on the desk. They've got whatever, you know, they're messy. You're not. I mean, this is ridiculous, right? So they drop $100 billion because their chat doesn't work, and they're trying to save a few pennies on sharing desk space between two people because you want your folks to come back to work. I mean, man, has Google jumped the shark? I don't know.
Just build another cubicle for crying out loud. Right. Please.
Yeah. But that's just really scary to start seeing that as far as the company goes. That's where they're going to try to save a buck.
Oh, you know? That's crazy.
It is. All right. That's interesting there, Dennis. What else did you want to talk about?
And another thing that Google is up to.
Yeah.
Okay. You may have heard Canada is considering passing legislation similar to what's in Australia.
Right.
That forces the
social media,
Media companies and the search engines to license stories from media sources.
And if they don't,
they can't put them on their site or in their search listings.
Right.
Okay. Blocked. Well, Google is testing a workaround for this for a very small number of Canadian users.
All right.
Just to see how it goes.
How they can block stories if they want to.
Right. Yeah. Now, the story that I have and a lot of the other stories that I read from other sources are ambiguous about this law, okay?
Right.
But I went and looked it up. It has not passed the parliament there.
Okay.
It apparently is getting what they call a second reading in the Senate, which means that the senators are looking hard at it.
Yeah.
And it means that it may not pass. I don't know, but it has not just rolled through Parliament the way normal bills do.
Right. And the key is to either have the content providers get paid for the link that's occurring. And if they don't, then you block the ability to see the news article.
Right.
But it could also be used to do things like block information that maybe, you know,
somebody doesn't
little
want
Justin
to
doesn't
convey.
Want to get out.
Yeah.
So if little Justin says, hey, I don't want to have this news story out,
right,
they get to block it. And again, this is not cool. But I do think Google should be compensating the people who are writing the content for this information.
Sure. If Google is presenting you a story,
right,
they absolutely should pay for that. Mm-hmm. No question about
it. But Google doesn't want to because they can't even afford to have cubicles in their offices. They have to share space. All comes back around, folks.
Oh, man. What a disaster.
So, yeah. So we have plenty of news to talk about. We got Tom Perrone coming in from GoNetsby. Two lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're on the old Facebooks. If Zuckerberg deems our show worthy, feel free to go out there. You can post some questions and even answer them between yourselves out there on the old Facebook page. We're over at WTIC's Facebook page. So check us out. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we have two lines open for you, 860-522-9842. And that's the Allman Brothers. It's an Allman Band of Brothers. It's a big band that I've found out from a band that actually is playing their music locally in Bristol at Tea Salon. It's Palin's band, the other band. Check it out on Tuesday nights if you want to check out. It's a free band to check out, and they played a lot of this type of stuff. Figured I'd share it with you because I thought it was cool. And they kind of played some big stuff based on the Allman Brothers. But let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Paul in New Britain first and see if I can remember how to do this, Paul. Are you there, Paul? He's not there. You there, Paul? There he is. Paul, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. We thought you fell down there. What can we do for you, sir?
Quick question. I'm slowly entering the 21st century with my internet, and I got gig speed.
You have gig speed. Okay.
Yeah. I like to have everything hardwired.
All right.
Because it's mostly streaming. But what I found out and almost fell out of my chair is that these devices, the Ethernet ports are limited to just 100 Mbps. So you actually could go faster with wireless than a direct connection, which makes no sense to me whatsoever.
That's funny. It could be the truth, though.
Yeah, it could be.
Some, it could be. Some devices are just going to be 100 megabits because they don't need more than 100 megabits
well,
to perform.
That's true. Well, you got to remember that the streaming that's actually being done to the device
right.
doesn't need to be over 100. Right. It isn't going to stream any quicker than, I would say, what, 10 megabits per second for a 4K feed?
Right, exactly, right. That's why we talk about not needing so much bandwidth all the time.
Right.
If you have a 15-lane highway, the cops don't let you, well, nowadays they let you go 95 miles an hour, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to go 65 miles an hour. And no matter how many people are on the road there, you're still stuck at 65.
Right.
So same idea here for streaming.
I understand. It was just a shock because I like to go to like fast.com just to see how much speed I'm getting. And
yeah.
It sort of like petered out. I was like, what?
Yeah. And you'll find that even with Wi-Fi too. I mean, even if your Wi-Fi is older, those radios inside, you know, 45G, whatever it was, 54, I can't even remember anymore, the older flavors, they right. run pretty slow.
Right, and a lot of the equipment out there, especially with the less expensive streaming devices,
right.
those have Wi-Fi N,
mm-hmm.
and that caps off, assuming everything is running perfectly,
right.
that caps off at about 300 megabits per second, and effectively you're probably going to have half that. In most cases.
Yeah, and again, it depends on your router and its ability to offer, you know, the MIMO, which is going to go to individuals, or if your router's kind of older, it just is going to time slice the available bandwidth. So there's a lot involved in getting, quote-unquote, your gigabit speed to everything.
Right. Well, all my devices are getting about 60 Mbps, which isn't bad.
60?
Yeah. With through the Fire TV Cube, through a Fire TV Stick.
So. Okay. Yeah, and you're all having right. no trouble watching high definition content, right?
No. I noticed an improvement from my old my previous internet was just DSL, supposedly up to like 45 Mbps.
Right.
But I do notice a difference. The picture is much clearer, much more stable.
Yeah, DSL is
hardwire everything because I'm not comfortable with the wireless can cut in and out, and it just seems better to be direct connected.
Wired always works. We've always said that. Although wireless is getting better these days, but you have to choose the right wireless band. You'll get better band, better performance from the 2.4 gigahertz band on your internal wireless for distance. And you'll get if you go to the 5 gigahertz, make sure you're close by to the router or the access point, and that'll do better that way. So it's based on distance. You just can't willy-nilly have like one device connect to 5G and wonder why it's not running really well. Try the 2.4
right. Yeah, if it's at a distance. Yeah, I thought it was the opposite.
I know.
You would think so, but no, it's not. And again, it's an effect of the fact that when you're streaming something, you only need just so much speed.
Right.
So there is no point in using any advanced technology to go faster because it's never going to come in any faster than it does. So.
No. And one other thing I just wanted to bring up for those like me who like to be hardwired and it's not always possible to get that long of a connection.
Yeah.
They have a gig mode. Don't ask me what it's called, but it goes into your electrical outlet.
Yeah.
And you can feed the Ethernet into that. But you have to be on the same circuit.
Right.
And that works out really well.
Yeah, Ethernet over power.
Or power line Ethernet. Sometimes it's the word that's used.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find it amazing that it can do that. Anyway, yeah. I love technology.
Yeah, cool, Paul.
Sounds that way.
Well, thanks for checking in.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time.
All right. So that's Paul. He's going to get wired where he can. We're going to be here till 11. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you, 860-522-9842. And then coming up at 10:05, Tom Perrone, Go NetSpeed, to let you know what they've been doing, how they've been expanding, and how they've been saving us money on our internet thanks to just having competition in the area. We'll be right back. Lines open for you, 860-522-9842. And we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We're going to go right to your calls, and John is up next. Let's go to John. You there, John?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. What can we do for you?
Because I'm doing a lot of traveling for work, I need to purchase a mobile hotspot. So I was wondering if you have any recommendations on which one to purchase. And number two, what do I need to do to make it as secure as possible?
Well, what do you have now for your cell service? Who is your cell service now?
It's Consumer Cellular, AT&T.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if a Consumer Cellular offers a hotspot, I mean, you could even probably turn on your own phone as a hotspot these days and don't have to buy it.
I did, but I'm turning through the data. I need another 50 gigs of data, probably.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So then you could always upgrade your service, though, on your phone so that you have an unlimited plan to cover this issue. Because when you buy the second device, you're going to pay for it monthly, whether you use it or not, right, that hotspot, and you're going to pay for that data. Even though you may not use it.
Depending on how that's packaged and priced.
That's true.
It's possible you could save money doing that. I'm not entirely sure. But
look into it. Like, if you're an AT&T fan, go and see what AT&T offers you for a hotspot. As far as securing it, because you're on your own hotspot, you're going to have your own login and you're not going to share it with anybody. That's pretty secure, you know?
Yeah. And, wireless 3G and up, mm-hmm. which would be 4G and 5G. Those are encrypted by definition, and they're encrypted at a hardware level. So
you're pretty safe.
That's going to keep you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Pretty safe, yeah.
So, I mean, I turn my hotspot on for my, when I use it, and on my phone, rather than paying a separate account. So you got to figure out which is cheaper, I guess.
I increased to their alleged unlimited plan, and now they're throttling me down. So,
oh,
yeah, everything's limited.
It's unlimited until it isn't.
Yeah.
I know. Twice now.
That's why you don't see the crab legs coming out at the buffet all the time. They kind of wait, you know. They see you walking up to the buffet. Hey, no more crab legs for that guy. So, same idea. It's just figuring out the combination, but the security is good if it's yours.
Okay.
All right, John?
All right. Thanks a lot for your help.
Yeah, good luck. All right, bye-bye. All right, four lines wide open as we wait for your calls. We'll get to the news again. And there was some cloud news you want to bring up, Dennis, the company that saved a bunch of money by coming off the cloud.
Oh, yeah. We have a story from a company that decided that they were going to look at their cloud bill.
Yes.
And, okay, this was a $7 million cloud bill.
Right.
Okay, what they did was they built their own data center for $600,000.
Right.
And now they don't have an annual $7 million bill.
Exactly. It's that simple.
In their case, it's a really a no-brainer.
Right. And it's a no-brainer for a lot of companies, right?
Yeah.
Owning your own servers versus renting somebody else's is no different than owning your own car versus renting it. Would you rent your car? Is it cheaper to rent your car, Dennis?
I wouldn't think so.
It's not.
No.
So same idea with servers. Same idea with anything. When you go to the cloud, all you're doing is putting your trust and your company into somebody else's servers. And as I just described, the DoD issue with Microsoft didn't work out so well for them.
No.
You know, and $7 million versus $600,000 is a obvious no-brainer. Somebody got a raise and a bonus for that decision and probably fired the guy who said, hey, we should go to the cloud. It's the new thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Cloud can work out for companies who are smaller, right? So if your scale is small, you know, a couple of folks in your office and you need email or what have you, then yeah, you can use 365 as a solution versus buying your own server. I can see that.
Right. The other advantage to it is agility. I mean, if you decide that you're going to create some kind of a product or develop something and you need to spin up a server quickly to get it going and try it out, well, you can do that in the cloud a lot more quickly than you can physically.
Right. And you can turn resources on and off. There's whole services out there because Microsoft will keep billing you. That meter will keep running. If you've got an Azure server sitting in the cloud and you've paid for a CPU, compute, and you purchase the RAM, and they're going to charge you for all that every minute that you have it running. So there is a neat concept in that you can turn it off and not pay for that. But again, it's just so wildly expensive. Anyways, you're messing with turning things off, turning things on, making sure things are available for such and such people who want to work on the weekend. Now you're really, it's like a setback thermostat on steroids, and that you have to configure all this just so your bill doesn't go crazy in the cloud versus just having your own servers.
Locally. Also, there are services that you can pay to do that management for you, to automatically shut stuff off, turn it on, change this threshold, whatever.
Right. But you're paying those guys down.
You're paying somebody else to keep your cloud bill down.
Right. Or, in this case, they save $7 million by putting together a $600,000 system.
And now all they've got to pay is, you know, the personnel to manage it every year.
Which,
but that's going to be like 0.001% of that $7 million bill.
Right. Now, of course, if you're in Connecticut and you have to have a data center running and you look at your electric bill, you might say to yourself, maybe I should put this somewhere else. And that's kind of the problem, right? As we make Connecticut less and less affordable, everyone's looking for ways to avoid being in Connecticut, right? So if you can have your data center spun up in Texas or someplace where energy seems to be cheaper,
well
managed in this case.
In Texas, you have to be careful because if a polar vortex comes through, you're not going to have power.
I should have used a different company, a different state. But again, we've got management here. You know, we have ISO New England has been managing our electricity, and they've been screaming for 20 years about the fact that we don't have enough natural gas coming in here to actually give us enough energy.
We're turning
enough nuclear power plants. So we're all wondering why our bills are so high. Well, guys, it's because the management of the state is pretty poor.
Right.
I mean, this is not something that's surprising.
It's also not just the management of the state now. It's the management of the state 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that never built any of this infrastructure that should have been built.
Yeah. So we digress. But that's kind of what's going on when you save money in the cloud. We'll put a link off getting yourself off the cloud. You know, we're agnostic at this point. If you want to pay us to put your stuff on the cloud, we'll bill you to do that. If you want to pay us to take it off the cloud, we'll bill you to do that. It doesn't matter. We'll get paid coming or going, guys. The difference is you're renting it forever in perpetuity from a third party that someday may decide they don't want to do that service anymore. And guess what? Then you got to pay us to move you to a different cloud.
Right. And like you were explaining, in some cases, it's a good idea.
It can be.
And you just have to do the work to figure that out.
Do the math. Well, even like voice over IP phone systems, right? So you can pay for your own voice over IP phone system, own it forever, not pay any monthly rental on it. Or somebody can come to you and say, well, for $25 a handset or a user, you can have access to your cloud-based phone system. And if you don't do that math, you're replacing your 15-year-old phone system that you have paid for 15 years ago now, and if you say, oh, I got 30 users, $25 a month, oh, that's kind of a big number every year.
Oh, yeah.
And if you did that math, you wouldn't be doing voice over IP in the cloud. You'd be buying voice over IP systems once. But nope, somebody said $25 sounds like a good deal until you do the math.
Right. That's what it's all about.
You got to do the math, guys. Let's go to Steve in Newington. And that's what that article talks about, too. Hey, Steve.
Good morning. I was reading an article the other day online about the article was titled How Hackable Is Your Computer?
Yeah.
And one of the things it talked about was something about, you know, giving away your location when you're using apps and things like that. And that GPS system enables hackers to infiltrate your device. And then from there, somehow they segued into using a virtual private network, which they say reduces the ability to hack your computer. But I guess if you do get hacked, it prevents some data from being breached. So I know you've talked about VPN in the past. I was wondering if you could elaborate on the benefits of VPN and any that you recommend.
Well, the benefits of VPN, I mean, you need to have enough bandwidth in your home, because if you run a VPN over your stuff within your home and your bandwidth isn't wide enough, this is where more bandwidth helps.
Right.
Because the VPN is going to encrypt everything you do on your machine and slow it down. So you need to have enough bandwidth to kind of compensate for that. But what VPN does is it gives you an encrypted connection where when you're online, you're going to pop out at somebody else's servers, the VPN company's servers, and you're going to pop out somewhere else in the country than where you are. The hackability doesn't seem to come into play there unless you're in a public space, right? So if you're in an airport or if you're at a, you know, Dunkin' Donuts and you have your laptop and you're sitting there doing your billing or doing your bill pay at a Dunkin' Donuts and you're not on a VPN, well, there could be a guy in the booth right across from you who's using a Wireshark tool that's trying to say, how can I get to Steve's laptop? That is very risky stuff. So you want to do that within a VPN so he can't see you. Right, you're encrypted within that VPN. At home, though, it's not that practical unless you have enough bandwidth to do it at home. And again, the hackers are really going to get you by simply saying, hey, Steve, what's your password? Like I ask on a regular basis to folks who call this show. Because what happens is you give it to them. And the way they're asking for your password is really the trickiness about it. They will figure out your email. They'll get into your email because you, for some reason, used the same password on three different sites, and one of the sites was breached. And they said, oh, Steve uses a password of Red Sox are great, exclamation point. I'll see if his email at steve.gmail.com is the same thing. Oh, it is. That's interesting. And then they'll read your email. And then they'll say, oh, Steve's going to buy a house. That's really great. I think I'll pay attention to this. And then your attorney says, hey, make sure you route this payment over here. And the hacker says, oh, well, I'm going to send it over there. And you don't even know that it's happening. And you send the money to some other place. That's the hacking that's going on. They're simply asking for it. It doesn't have to be that complicated. VPNs help give you more privacy when you're in a public area. And, of course, if you're online at home and you want to have a VPN, Comcast and these companies are trying to sell where you're going, right? They are happy to say, oh, Steve likes to go to this website or that website. Well, they won't know it if you're within a VPN.
Right.
So, however, though, certain VPN services were leaking the local DNS information and using local DNS.
Yeah, so, it comes down to whether you want to trust the VPN service you're using.
Right. So I like ProtonVPN. They're a Swiss company. I'll like them until I don't. That's the problem with IT until they burn you.
And they have VPN servers all over the world. It's not just in Switzerland.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, all over the country. Yeah. You'd want to find
an
American
nearby.
Connection, yeah, probably. Yeah. It'd be faster.
Okay. And when you talk about needing enough bandwidth to use it at home, what do you mean by bandwidth? How does one know that?
Do a speed test on your internet connection. So when you hang up with us, just go to speedtest.net. And see how much your upload and download speed is. Because if it's not really quick and you add VPN inside it, it'll definitely perform poorly. Because it's going to encrypt everything. You're not going to be able to run very well if your internet speed is, let's say, 20 megabits, and then you encrypt it on top of that with a VPN. You're not going to be very happy with how your computer operates. Because the VPN, when I connect to Tab through our VPN, I've got a 500-500 internet connection, and Tab's a gigabit connection, but I'm only running 35 megabits to Tab because that's how fast the VPN operates when I'm connected to them, to us, to we, whatever you want to call it.
And so it sounds like maybe because I pretty much just use the computer at home.
Right.
So maybe it's not really as big an issue as I thought. But just for ha-has, if I do the test,
yeah,
what's a reasonable speed, minimum threshold for the speed that you would recommend for VPN ballpark?
I would think 150 would be a manageable speed. If you have 150 megabits down, you'll be probably happy with the performance of your VPN. But you will notice some performance glitches as you go to certain sites. And also certain sites are going to say, hey, Steve, where are you? You're going to go ahead and try to find a Home Depot near you, and you're going to be in Saskatchewan, New York, and you're going to place the order for the refrigerator, and then it's going to be in the wrong Home Depot. So pay attention to that.
Okay.
Is there a town, Saskatchewan, New York? I don't even know.
Saskatchewan?
So.
If I could ask one other question. Yeah. In the same article, it was talking various things about being more hackable.
Yep.
And it went into two-factor authentication. And I'm sure you'll probably verify this, but I was astonished where it said most people use SMS text as their two-factor, which I was one of those. And apparently that's a high-risk method from what I understand, because your phones can have malware and things like that.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, I guess, is email the better way to do the two-factor then?
Not if your bad guy already has your email address.
It all depends on what the hacker has access to.
Right. You can use third-party authenticators, like Google Authenticator would be an app on your phone that you could use for two-factor authentication, as long as the service you're using recognizes that tool.
Right.
In some cases, they don't. And so here's the issue, right? You're using your cell phone company. So let's say, Steve, I knew you were some ding-dong Bitcoin owner, and you had $1 million in fake money. And I'm like, I'm going to get that guy's money. I'm going to actually try to social network or social engineer, figuring out what cell service you use, calling your cell service as you, and then I'm going to simjack your phone, because the guys within Verizon are pretty easy to fool. And they're going to migrate your number over to my phone. I'm going to log into your crypto account and move all your money out of it. That's the issue with cell phones, using cell phones as the two-factor. You need to use an authenticator app, Or other methods of two-factor authentication. Email is one, but again, you better have that email locked down with its own two-factor, and that password better be some wicked difficult password that you don't use anywhere else, because email is your life. And if you're using a free email service, and you've...
I do.
Yeah, right. I mean, you may want to consider getting a paid email service in these days, because the old days of free email, it's, you know, your connection is so important, it needs to be more professional these days. So consider, again, Proton or other mail services out there.
Or if your ISP is offering email accounts, use them.
Right.
Either way, you've got a supported account.
But there's anybody socially engineered. So if they want to go, they're like, oh, Steve's at Cox.net, I can try to impersonate Steve, get into Cox.net.
Right. So that's an issue too.
It is. So we're all very hackable, Steve. But don't use the same passwords. Use two-factor authentication. Check out Google Authenticator as an option for some of your two-factor if you wish. Check out professional email. There's lots of things we have to do as users. But we got to get going.
Is Google Authenticator free?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. All right.
Assuming the service that you're trying to connect to will recognize it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the problem too.
Yeah.
What do you mean by service? My ISP?
Well, let's say you're trying to connect to a bank.
Right.
Okay. The bank has to have the ability to use the Google Authenticator. They have to have that set up.
Oh, I see.
And sometimes they don't, and they want you to use your phone.
And they want to use the phone. A lot of companies are still stuck with phones, but.
Yeah, and be careful with the apps you're loading on your phones, guys. I mean, all these silly apps, you can't trust that these apps are legit. Who knows what they're doing while they're letting you do some sort of Candy Crush-like game. They could be trying to do all sorts of things to your phone while you're doing some silly thing on the thing. People got to treat their phone more as a tool rather than the plaything that they are. And unfortunately, a lot of the Gen Zers are going to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, Steve. Yep. Thanks. I keep telling my own kids, you know, and they don't listen to me. I'm like, okay. My son had his Chipotle hacked. Of course, he had my credit card on
that's
it. And then
right.
some guy's buying, some dude in Baja, California is buying Chipotle on my credit card. I'm like, dude, I got to close my credit card account because you put it on your Chipotle account and the password was taco or something like that. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And it's been tweeted out via Twitter now that Elon owns it. And you're going to get it into your newsfeed. If you follow Tab Computer Sys, you'll get the same news links there. And Facebook has got it as well. But if Zuckerberg only has to deem it worthy and you're not in Australia and now maybe even Canada, you may not get the information because they're working on how to block that stuff. But again, there's a reason. Of course, the news folks really should get paid for their articles that Google is sharing. But again, they're getting exposure. Google would say, hey, well, we're giving them plenty of exposure. They wouldn't even have heard about these news articles if we didn't have people share them. And they may have a point there, too. Coming up at 10:05, Tom Perrone will be coming in from GoNetSpeed, and he'll be giving us an update on what they've been doing and how things have been going with GoNetSpeed. And again, they're a competitor to the incumbent providers that we've been stuck with for the past two decades or longer. That gives us the ability to have higher speed, fast, you know, super fast internet at a low cost. And now the competitors are going to have to lower the prices. Nobody's shedding a tear there.
Nope.
Nothing like competition. I wonder if we did that with energy, what would happen? Let's talk about something else though, before we go to the top of the hour here as we wait for your calls. 860-522-9842. So you may have had this happen where your bank says, hey, you know, we can record your voice and that'll be more secure. And you're like, okay. And then they record your voice, and now they don't have to ask you, you know, what your favorite pizza was or whatever your security questions were to prove it to you. Well, turns out now Samsung Galaxy phone has the ability to train Bixby to now answer the phone for you in your voice, meaning you're too lazy to pick up the phone or you can't. So you're typing the response, and Bixby is responding in your voice. What does that mean?
Ooh. Well,
this AI can now be used to hack your account. They can talk to the bank as you and...
Yeah. Oh, no.
So, you know, it's a neat feature, But it's also obviously was coming. It's not surprising here, especially with other things like deepfakes and stuff like that. So we'll put a link up there for you guys. The banking industry is always trying to keep your stuff safe, and now they got to figure out something else. It'll be a retinal scan on your iPhone next.
Yeah.
So stick around, guys. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Tom Perone from GoNetSpeed's coming in-house. We'll be right back.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.